Amen. Always grateful for our choir. If you have a copy of God's Word, I invite you to join with me this week now to the Gospel according to St. John. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 14, we're going to be beginning at verse 15. So last week we began this joyous season with a focus on what it is that we have in Christ. And that, beloved, is hope. Hope that we can hold fast to from the promise given to us in the Scriptures. Hope that we grasp in the Gospel. Hope that we cling to in Christ Jesus alone. And we were reminded how we ought to be prepared likewise, equipped with glad hearts to give a defense for the reason for the hope within. This now our second Sunday in Advent. Our hearts now turn together that which likewise our Savior gives, really specifically that which our Savior leaves us, and that is the gift of peace. John 14, 15 through 27. Before we turn to God's Word, let's pray. Lord, again, as always, we do come. We ask, Lord, for the blessing afresh and anew. As you bless us daily, we come again and ask for fresh blessing as we turn to your Word again. Holy Spirit, give us the peace of mind, peace in our hearts, that we may truly understand the true peace that we have in Jesus Christ again. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning here in verse 15 of John 14, Jesus speaking here, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while. The world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. In that day, you too will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." It's been a while since I've preached through the Gospel of John, right at about a decade now. But if there was one holy book within that of Holy Writ that I would recommend for someone especially new to the faith, it would be this gospel, the Gospel according to John, penned by the one of whom Jesus called the beloved disciple. This morning, though we are celebrating the beginning of the incarnation, that is what we call Advent, the first Advent, the beginning of Christ's humiliation. We talked about humiliation, humility last Sunday. Likewise, Christ was humbled. Paul describes it as he emptied himself. Our text today comes from the end of that humiliation, the eve, if you will, of Jesus' passion and his return to his rightful place, the return to his rightful throne, to the right hand of the Father. We are now in what is called the Upper Room Discourse, where Christ will comfort his disciples before the Passion And to that, our text we turn now. Verse 15 again, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Our Lord is in the upper room. The Greek word is kataluma, the kataluma in Greek. And actually, that particular word actually plays a big role in the Christmas story, but that will be for a topic for another day. The kataluma, the upper room. Having shared the Last Supper, having washed the disciples' feet, foretelling likewise the betrayal of himself, the darkness that is to come, and yet here Christ still offers comfort that his work that he has done for some 33 years was not for naught. A place prepared for those that believe, he had promised, and now for those that will remain, that they themselves are not alone. What then is a defining characteristic of those that remain? Again, how do we know a believer? Is it simply by word, a statement? Do they simply talk the talk? Or do they also walk the walk? People simply call themselves Christian and suddenly they got their fire insurance, they're saved. Well, Jesus tells us you'll know them by their fruits. A pastor once said that being in church makes you a Christian as much as being in a garage makes you a car. No, friends, James tells us that faith without works is dead. No, those who love Jesus will keep his commands, not out of fear, not out of requirement for salvation, for it's only by faith that we are saved. No, friends, we do it because we love him. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." If you love Jesus, you will keep his commandments. Now, we understand that it will not be perfectly kept. For if any could perfectly keep the commandments of God, there's no need of Jesus. There's no need of a Christ. What does Jesus mean here? Keeping and pursuing that which is good, holy, and righteous, even when we stumble, friend. With encouragement and strength of the Holy Spirit, that we're able to get up and dust ourselves off and to continue to run that race that is laid out before us, trusting in Christ, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. Where then do we find these commands? Where do we find these things that please God? Well, again, hearkening back to last week, we find it in his word. That we are able to give a defense, we all must know his word. You'll never know it perfectly. I'm still learning. Sam's still learning, aren't you, Sam?
I hope so.
You'll never learn it completely because we're reading the love letter from an infinite being that is God. You cannot claim that you believe in Christ and yet, I don't like his word. I don't like what he says. And for those that are called, those who pursue his word and righteousness, what of them? What about them? What about those that do love him? What about those that are left behind? What comfort do they have? Well, Jesus tells us, verse 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." The Holy Spirit. Yes, friends, here in today's text, we see one, the person of the Son, two, the person of the Father, and three, the person of the Holy Spirit. And as our Lord tells us, those who do not follow Christ cannot receive the Holy Spirit. They reject the Holy Spirit. The world rejects, blasphemes the Holy Spirit. It is the natural state of those outside of Christ. It is not by choice then, but by God's will that sweet fellowship and companionship with the Holy Spirit can be had. And of him, that is the Holy Spirit, that we fellowship with the Father and the Son. Jesus says that they knew him, Christ says that the Holy Spirit dwelt with them, which is important, but note that he says that he will be in them soon. Christ says that the Holy Spirit will be, that the Holy Spirit is not indwelling in believers yet. You realize that up until this point, the Holy Spirit may rest upon a follower and a God-fearer, may be with a follower and a God-fearer, but never within. Because as of this, the debt has not been paid. They are on the other side of the cross. They are on the other side of the cross. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit has not yet happened. It cannot yet. But for us, beloved, this side of dawn, this side of the cross, he does dwell. For as Jesus promises, verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Oh, friend, what more reassuring words could ever be spoken? For it was Christ who called himself the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd, as I have often said, never abandons his flock. He wouldn't be good. He wouldn't be a good shepherd if he lost his sheep. And though we see him not now, as his disciples had, those whom the Father has sent to the Son, friends, which includes us, are never alone. Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. Not might come, maybe, roll the dice. They will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. John chapter 6. We are not alone. For the Spirit is with them. He is with his people today. And note Christ's blessed promise even here. Because I live, you also will live. A very timely word for today. A dozen sermons could be preached on this section alone, no doubt. You see, by the Holy Spirit, we share in the accomplishments of Jesus. By his death, we are able to die to sin. By his resurrection, yes, the resurrection of him, the second Adam, we too will once again, one day, rise again to never die again. And by, again, don't forget his perfect life, we will be able to live perfectly. Thanks to Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit within. Verse 20, in that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. What a fellowship. You thought you had close relationships with people now. Mystery of the existence of one God in three persons. So many people, so many pagans out there deny the Trinity, and they deny it because they don't understand it. And that's understandable. We don't understand it. We can only understand by the way that God tells us about himself. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Trinity. The reason why we have such a hard time with the Trinity is because we have no one to compare him to. He is unique. And yet, brothers and sisters, because of that blessed, perfect relationship, beautiful union of unions, we, through the will of the Father, the blood of the Son, the work of the Holy Ghost, we who are made in his image, who bear his name, we are able to fellowship with him. Now it's just dimly. Now dimly in this world, but soon more fully, more clearly, face to face. Verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Once again, our Lord, our Rabbi, drives home the point, friends, that only those that have been regenerated, only those who have been born again, brought back from spiritual deadness, resurrected from death to life by the power of the living God, these are those who bear the fruits that I mentioned earlier, the fruits that honor God, seeking and pursuing Him above all. As our beloved apostle to the Gentiles wrote, "Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree,' so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." Apostle Paul, Galatians chapter 3. Jesus says, "Keep my law, keep my commandments," over and over again. These are the things, brothers and sisters, that please our Master. They don't save you. What is it that saves? Christ. Faith in Christ. And as Jesus tells us today, we do these things out of love for Him, what He first did for us. We do not manipulate. We do not distort or change God's word to suit our whims and fancies. For those that stray from the word, that is the word of God, there is no light in them at all. Listen to what the prophet says. "Bind up the testimony, seal the teaching among my disciples. I will wait for Yahweh to the teaching, to the testimony. If they will not speak according to this word, it is because they have no light in them at all." Isaiah chapter 8. But beloved, again, how will we know? How will we know the truth, friends? How will we know these things? How will we remember all this stuff? How will we remember the commands that He left us if He's not presently here with us as He was with His disciples? To that, Christ reassures us. Verse 25, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." While Jesus was here, Emmanuel, the work was not completed, friends. But when Christ finished His cross work and ascended to the right hand of the Father, the righteousness, the perfection that was His holiness was imputed to those who claim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in repentance and faith. That we, yes, in the flesh, we still sin, brothers and sisters. Martin Luther described us as simul justus et peccator. We are simultaneously sinners, yet justified. Justified by Jesus Christ. Justified by Christ now, and think back to Jesus' example, we're swept clean. Not for some seven other demons to come in, but for the Holy Spirit to come. To dwell no longer with us as in days of yore, but now within us, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And it is with this blessed relationship that the Holy Spirit removes that veil of sin from our eyes, allowing us to see more clearly the truth. The Holy Spirit brings back the memories. He brings back the memories. He recalls to mind and helps you connect the truth that's found woven throughout God's Word, the blessed story of redemption, a story that has been unfolding since the promised seed to crush the head of the serpent in Genesis chapter 3. But even more important, to those men reclining at table that night in the Cataluma, in the upper room with our Lord, for them, it was the remembrance of what had happened. For many of those men gathered with our Lord that evening would be tasked with the compiling of what would become known as the New Testament, all the works of Jesus here on earth, that they would be the ones that would be breathed into by the Holy Spirit, penning the gospel, bringing together the wonders of the Old Testament with the new, fulfilling and connecting the dots so that we may be blessed today. As John himself would later write at the end of his gospel, "Now there were also many other things that Jesus did, were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. John 21. You see, beloved, this is why Jesus says over and over again, if you love me, you'll keep my word. If you love me, you'll read my word. You'll know my word. Holy Scripture, the Bible. Friends, this is a tool that God speaks to us in that can comfort you, encourage you day in and day out. Because just as it was with the prophets in days of yore, of Moses and the prophets, it is through the work of the Holy Spirit, through those writers, that we have the Bible, God's word. This is why Jesus says, if you love him, you will love his word. You will love the Bible. Through this that we have hope. And not just hope, peace. I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And it is with this background, the understanding of why, again, the purpose of the first Advent, that with this assurance, this peace that we have, that we are given. Matthew Henry once described it this way. When Christ was about to leave this world, he made his will. His soul he committed to his Father. His body he bequeathed to Joseph to be decently interred. His clothes fell to the soldiers. His mother he left to the care of John. But what should be left for his poor disciples who have left all for him? Silver and gold he had none, but he left them that which was infinitely better, his peace. He did not part in anger, but in love. For this was his farewell, as a dying father leaves portions to his children. And this is a worthy portion. Why so? Why is this peace so worthy? For that Christ now has returned to his throne, completed his time of humiliation, his incarnation. He is now through the cross established peace. Not peace as in absence of conflict, especially in this world. We know that. But peace and shalom with God. For friends, we are all born at war with God, enemies the same. But only through Jesus Christ is it that peace can be made, as the apostle notes. For unto us, there we go, wait a second. There we go. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, Ephesians 2. This is Jesus Christ. This is why he came the first time, the true giver of true, lasting peace. This is why the angels sang in chorus heavenly, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those whom he has pleased, Luke 2. This is the peace that Christ leaves for his followers. Yes, even today. This is the peace that we remember this Advent Sunday. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.